Welcome to Out on the Edge. Hosts Judy McCord, Robin Hamilton, and Betty Priu, queer elders with a combined century of lasting, loving relationships, are launching what will be an intergenerational tour of what it's like to be gay and gray in North Carolina in 2025. Before we dive into our show, let's give a shout out to WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro, on 103.5 FM for hosting our weekly show. The Out on the Edge show is brought to you by the LGBTQ Plus Senior Resource Team of the Orange County, North Carolina Department on Aging. We acknowledge that the town of Carrboro and surrounding land was originally part of the Saponi People's Territory, which also included the Eno, Tutelo, and Shikori Nation. Join us each week as we interview special guests and share information, resources, insights, and stories. You can catch us live Monday afternoon, 3 to 4 p.m., or stream us live at wcomfm.org. Find links to shows on the wcomfm.org website and on the Orange County Department on Aging's website, which is www.orangecountync.gov/aging. There you'll find links to the Out on the Edge radio show, as well as a host of helpful resources about services in Orange County, North Carolina. If you have questions about any of the resources we discuss on the shows, or if you want to respond to or suggest a topic for an upcoming show, you can email us at outontheedgeradio@gmail.com. The Out on the Edge radio show is a project of the LGBTQ Plus Senior Resource Team of Project Engage with the Orange County Department on Aging. Today's guest is Heather Altman, the brilliant host of our parent program, Aging Well Together, which airs at 2 o'clock every Thursday. Welcome, Heather.
Thank you so much. I am so excited to be here. I'm here with Judy and Robin, and I wish Betty was here, too, for your inaugural show. I brought a present from Aging Well Together, so I can do your, like, I brought our sound machine.
Yay! Oh, that's fabulous.
I know. And it is, listeners, you can't see us, but Judy's doing the talking. Robin is rocking the soundboard. And I'm so thrilled to be your first guest. Yay! Okay, sorry, continue with your intro.
Absolutely. The first time we met Heather at the board here, she hosted us on her show to introduce us to the radio. And one question she had for us that we sort of stumbled over, what's our mission?
Mm-hmm.
So we've kind of put something together. I think it's kind of like a budget. We might meet it and we might not. But here's our beginning. We'd like to share our view for the show, where we're starting our engines, blasting off, taking the leap. We'll be sharing all the good things we provide for and celebrate with our LGBTQ plus community, to share our fabulous stories with allies and those folks who'd like to be allies if they only know how. The climate in our country at this time is so toxic for all of us that we need each other to stay planted in love, to hold each other up and dance and sing, to share those things we have in common, not those things that divide us. Not today. So, Heather.
Yes.
What excites you about the show?
I was supposed to ask you that question.
We got to you first.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
I see give and take coming up.
I know. I'm like, wait, no. I have lists of questions. Listeners, we decided even though they're the hosts for the first show, I would kind of interview them a little bit. And I had that as my first question for you all. So I will answer it. And then we'll turn it over to you for your show. And it is funny for me to be in the interview seat. Like, literally, I'm on a different seat. It's really fun. So I'm going to give myself a pat on the back. So what excites me about the show is that this has been a dream, a hope of mine and for WCOM for almost 2 years now, I think. When we launched the show within a few months, I knew that WCOM, they do great community programming, and they were looking to have more shows. And I heard there was interest in doing more with the LGBTQ plus community. And I just happened to be, I do so much with the Orange County Department on Aging, and I happened to be going over there during one of the, you can tell about the different programming. There's the Tuesday night group, or I don't know, the monthly group that looks at LGBT issues, the senior resource team. And I first brought up this issue, you know, hey, it would be great for the group to have a radio show. And I know that it would be welcome by the station. And so, you know, all this time later, what excites me is that this is happening and that we are here together and that the official launch of the Out on the Edge show. So that excites me. And then I'm just excited. Just is always a weird way. They said you shouldn't say just. I'm excited as a community member and as a listener to WCOM to be able to listen and hear and celebrate and dance alongside you all as I'm in my car or listening through my phone. So I'm just excited to be part of your groupies. I'm your first groupie, I think.
You are indeed.
Yeah. So what excites the two of you?
Oh. Why is everybody looking at me?
Well, because I don't know.
I don't know.
Robin was on our show, and you totally get tongue-tied. You were on. Let's do a shout-out for the Aging Well Together show, because if you come onto our website, the orangecountync.gov/aging, you'll see the listing for our radio show podcast, and so you'll be able to hear Robin and Betty and Judy. And Robin, I tongue-tied you there too. No,
well, I'm just so many years working in the theater, running boards for things. I was always supposed to be extremely quiet, so I could hear the show, and I go, no chatter when you're running the board and everything. And now I'm sitting behind a sound, very simple soundboard. That's very easy. But what excites me about the show is I am very new into my transition. It's never too late. That's really what I want to be able to. This is going to give me a platform to talk about. It's never too late.
Yeah.
I came out basically to my wife 2 weeks before my 70th birthday.
Wow. Here, I'm gonna do a technical thing for you. You're saying such important things. I want you to be heard. You're so sweet. I want you to be a little bit louder. Put the microphone and get yourself nice and loud. I know.
You're a little bit louder.
Perfect. I'm like, wait, you're sharing so much.
A little bit louder now.
You can tell when we were doing theater, we both of us, even though we weren't doing theater together, but when I did theater growing up, where do you think I was?
I wasn't directing.
No, I was on stage, but the point being, I was not the quiet one behind the soundboard. Okay, I was the one up on stage making lots of noise. So you and I
was so terrible at that.
I will get you projecting and articulating, but no.
Theater was so glad when I gave up acting. Oh, my goodness.
Well, in this case, the microphone is your friend and your voice is your friend, but you were sharing such important things. I didn't want the audience to lose it.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. I have a lot to learn, but coming out was such a big thing for me after so many years of, no, that's not me. That can't be me. That's somebody else. And being an incredibly staunch ally all the time. But I finally had retired and then COVID. And so I wasn't doing theater anymore. And I wasn't doing much of anything except relearning how to write poetry. And I went, oh, my God. You know, I've just started thinking about this thing that just kept coming up. So I'm using when Judy asked me about joining the committee, there was no mention of a radio store. And then I was at a committee meeting and he said radio show. And I went and she and Betty said, I'd love to do that. And said, well, I can help. I have production manager experience. I can help with schedules and stuff. And here I am behind a microphone.
Which is
fine. It's going to be a really good exercise. My voice therapist is incredibly excited about this opportunity for me to come out here and myrtleize my voice in front of everybody.
Did you just say myrtleized? I don't even know what that term means.
Oh, my God, you're so young.
I was today years old when I heard that
term.
You're
so young.
What does that mean?
Myrtleize. I think it was a Ralph Cramden honeymooner's.
Okay, I know that reference.
Brooklynese mangling thing. I'm going to myrtleize you.
Oh gosh.
Kind of thing. It's I really am old, even though I'm the middle child in our broadcast thing. So.
I know we discussed that, all the different ages of everyone.
But no, I am the youngest and newest member of the LGBTQ plus community of the group, and I'm very excited to be welcomed. As thoroughly as I am, as embraced as I am, and to be given the opportunity to fall flat on my face and make, you know, terrible things, take terrible mistakes about coming
out. It's community. Oh, I was going to say on this show, it's community radio. We make mistakes all the time.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm trying really hard not to use the seven deadly words.
I'm worried about that too.
We
my tongue.
I know I'm a big swearer too.
That posted in here somewhere.
It's okay. We just don't swear. You just sort of say okay.
That's what
no
makes
curse
it exciting
words.
Is not swearing on the air.
I worked at a place for many years where you couldn't swear. I mean, in a professional setting, and they were specifically like, don't swear. So I you know, like even the other day, I'm like, oh, sugar plum. You know, I say all these other things, but did you work environments where you were allowed to swear?
In a scene shop? Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. I get it. Okay. Yeah. But say no more.
But an interesting, as long as I'm here and you've got a microphone, this is a bad idea, putting me in front of a microphone.
I know.
Did I tell you my name story?
No, I'd love to hear your name story.
Okay, well, we'll just, you know, this is part of what we're going to be doing in the next few weeks.
Yeah, this show is all about getting to know the two of you and the show. We'll pick on Betty, another show you guys will.
Oh, Betty, you're in trouble. When my mother was pregnant, they said, oh, I'm pregnant. Oh, well, we better get married. So they did. And then they were so convinced that they were going to have a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
They only had a girl's name picked out.
Oh, okay.
That name was Heather.
That's my name.
That was supposed to be my name.
And you're a little bit older than me, and so there's a lot of Heathers in their 50s.
Well,
you don't have that. That was really avant-garde.
Movie Heathers.
I know, which came out, but you're a little bit older than me, so that was a pretty unique name.
Well,
it would have been.
My father's family is from Scotland.
Oh.
So Heather Lee, L-E-I-G-H, you know, the mountain meadow full of purple flowers. That was the name.
I was just in Scotland 2 weeks ago. Go on. I know.
Oh, my God.
Go on. Sorry.
I'm a tangent queen.
Go on.
Anyway, then I was born and they said, in 1953, they said, well, we can't name this person with that anatomy, with that name. So I did not have a name for several days.
Okay.
So I was the Hamilton baby, and they came up with a couple of drinking buddies from my father's fraternity.
Yes.
And they slapped me with their names.
Okay.
And they actually called me Robin.
Oh.
And that was it. And so to cut to the one punchline, they saved Heather Lee for my sister who was born 18 years later, and now she is the Heather Lee family.
And that timing works because a lot more folks in there, like the other Heathers that I see, I'm about to be 55. We're all in our
50s. 53. So
you generally see that sort of 45 to 55.
So I was
60.
Just too far out on ahead of the curve.
So you've
that.
So always been Robin. No.
When I was 6 and starting school, they decided Robin was too girly.
Okay.
So they butched it up and shortened it
to Rob.
Someone just dead named me.
Oh my gosh! I'm sorry. Was I not supposed to say that? I mean, I don't know. See, this is where we're going to talk about mistakes.
I think anybody who knows me knows that.
It got shortened. So I.
No,
yeah.
I'm.
That was specifically not one of my questions. I was not going to ask about your naming process.
It is so close to Robin. And
yeah.
I respond to. I mean.
Well, that's like a love name. Is just. Shorting down, instead of like Judy, if I was just like, hey, Jude, where's the thing? You know,
which is what it, and that's, yes, if we do a show with basically about coming out, my transition and that kind of thing, that, that, you know, I was going to come out at that point anyway. So, yeah, but that, but they decided the, they decided they didn't have a girl, that Robin was too girly, so they butched it up and made it Rob. And
okay.
All this time, they actually did have a girl.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I know. It's so weird.
I have thought behind the scenes. I was wondering about your name, but I was not going to ask about it on air, but I'm glad you are. And then, do you want to talk about your middle name? Because I have a personal connection to your middle name, but you don't. We don't have to. But there, you do have another name that you share with my sister. You have a middle name.
Your
middle name.
Elise.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, not the old one, not the drinking buddy.
No. But your current one.
That I really disliked. Elise came about because...
You don't have to share it.
No.
This happened last show, listeners, where we were just chit-chatting, and all of a sudden Robin shared things and was like, I didn't want to share that. So, let's take a pause.
That's
if you
fine.
Don't want
I'm just concerned about the amount of time, but...
We're fine. It's a long-form interview show.
It's
we're fine.
And it's really the whole point of the show is getting to know us a little
I
bit
know.
More in-depth and getting used to talking into the mic extempore, or however that is. My childhood heroes, well... The only safe place I had when I was a child was a library.
Ah.
So that was where I went. And so I became a bookworm. And then I was reading at ninth grade reading level when I was in fourth grade. And all the other kids hated me. And the teachers loved me. And they embarrassed me by telling me how smart I was. And I should apply myself. And I just wanted to go read.
Yeah.
I would just go sit in the corner and read. So I would go to the library and I would read. And I discovered The Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
And then I discovered that there are another 50 books beyond The Wizard of Oz in the entire series. There were new Oz books into World War II.
Never knew that.
Many authors. There is now a huge... I have one entire bookcase in my house is full of Oz books, including all the Wicked books. And he just came out with the prequel to Wicked just this spring. So
I didn't know much of that.
But so... I automatically gravitated towards Dorothy as my new middle name. But the rhythm was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Tutor's going to say, you dropped your voice down low at the end of the sentence. It's very
You're just
masculine.
Noticing things. It's so funny, all the things you have to think about. I'm so sorry. I didn't notice that at all.
I'm actually doing pretty good about repositioning my larynx. But anyway, my heroes were Dorothy, Wendy from Peter Pan, and Alice from Alice in Wonderland. And my middle name was Dorothy and Wendy and Robin Wendy. Yeah, that sort of meh. And Robin Alice. It had the same rhythm as my old middle name.
Okay.
And I didn't like that because we have... my wife's name is da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
Da-da-da-da. We have had so many cats over our lives, their names have been da-da-da-da.
Yeah, that's the cadence of a name.
The rhythm and the cadence and everything. And so I was not having anything that I liked. And then I realized that my... mother's family is German, and Elise is German for Alice. And Robin Elise, I went, there was the rhythm. There was the reference to the German side of my family. There was the reference to Alice in Wonderland, and the rhythm was all right. And I just went, Robin Elise. And I made the mistake of telling my there was I knew an Elise in high school, and she was. I don't think they'll ever hear this, but she was part of a large family, and she had an awful lot of pressure to be the same as her cousins, cheerleader, this academic order, blah, 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 blah. And she was always quiet, and I always assumed that she was shy and withdrawn like me.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not call myself Elise because of this sad girl I knew in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a story about an Elise that I knew, and my wife thought I was giving tribute to this sad girl, and so it was a sad baggage.
This is happiness, happy baggage.
Yeah,
but it was
a very methodical. It took a long time. I actually tried Robin as a professional stage name in the 80s when I was in New York, and it just felt very. Affected. It didn't sound... I mean, it's the same way my voice sounds to me now. It sounds very affected and put on. And then when I said, I'm trans, I really am trans. It's not bull stuff.
Mm-hmm. like, good job.
Robin just went, boom, yes, you are Robin. You have been Robin. You have always been Robin.
You've always been Robin. That was actually a really fascinating story. You kind of went full circle.
Yeah.
And my sister's Renee Elise, so it has that same cadence and that same. So I was thinking about it yesterday because I know it's part of your email. And I was like, oh, I like that it's Robin Elise. I got to tell my sister that because she's Renee Elise.
Yeah, no, it is.
It's a beautiful flow.
I like it. It's still getting. We signed. We updated all of our estate planning documents last week.
Okay. Well, now this sounds like an aging well together show type of topic. Go on. We talk about it all the time.
We did all of those 11 years ago. And so we basically went in and changed my name on everything and updated my signature and everything. And so all of a sudden, I'm looking at paper in my hand that says in big, fat, black, hairy Times Roman 20 point, the last will and testament of Robin Elise Hamilton.
And
It's real.
Yeah.
It's very real now. And so it's been, and we will again get into this probably more on the show, but it's, as anybody knows, being trans in the United States in 2025 is being anybody in the LGBTQ plus community has been fraught.
Yeah.
So I'm just.
I'm just like, yes.
So I have been. But so since the election, I have been doing everything I can to get Robin Elise legally established and everything else like that. And there's the only thing I have left is my passport. And I have the court order document that I am part of a protected class and I am allowed to get my passport with the correct gender on it.
Great.
Now.
And so now
it's simply a matter of doing it.
It's hard because I'm used to, this is not my show. I'm used to go in and interviewing. Like, there were so many wonderful things you shared and different conversation paths we could go on, and you touched on a number of different things, so I don't know whether we want to dive into them, but I know we're still this is Judy's time also to talk about what excites her. And then there's a lot more to bring back, and frankly this is why you have a show. There were so many different things you just brought up, and I went, yeah, there's
that,
a lot
and
there.
That, and that, yes.
Yep.
Well, what excites me about the show is exactly that. This is the platform for us to share who we are and tell people this is how it is. This is who we are. Ask your questions.
Yeah.
We need your allyship. We want you to know who we are, period, end of sentence. And that's exactly why I'm excited about this show.
I know.
What I wrote was, we need to be bold. We need to take the chance that we might be able to change hearts and minds, to let our friends and allies know we've always been here and we're not going anywhere. We're not going back into the closet. So there, that's who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like when it was first suggested, Betty and I looked at each other and said, of course. Mm-hmm. That's next for us. We've been doing all the potlucks and the movies and things. This is next. And it feels exciting just to know that we're doing it. So that's for me.
And it is really fun. I mean, there's so many layers also in what you just shared. There's the excitement that is just like the big existential, psychological, community-growing excitement. And then there's just the craziness of, you have a radio show now. And so I'm always giggling when I'm here. I mean, I'm 2 years, 80-something shows into it, and it still cracks me up. I had meetings today, and I had to go, and there's another meeting I'm missing right now. I'm like, I have a radio show, and I now have sisters that are, I have a little sister show and I gotta get to help it launch. But I can't even imagine the excitement to also be able to have a voice and to be able to really share it in new ways, especially, Robin, as you said, in these ultra complex times.
They are. And one of the things about Judy made me think of this is one of the things that I keep seeing in transphobic and homophobic posts is that people are biased against LGBTQ because they don't know any of us.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't met any of us. And that by are being on the air and telling silly bull stuff stories about our past and our adventures and things like that, they get to know us and they realize that we are human beings just like they are.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, you know, then if we change, you know, one mind, we've accomplished a whole lot.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Beautifully exactly. Said.
Getting out there and just letting them get to know us. So, yeah, there are things we won't want to talk about when we get very personal about stuff. But in general, the more I prattle, the more they know.
Yeah. So.
Exactly.
And you're opening up an avenue for other people to share their story. I mean, I'm excited to see who's on the show, what kinds of things, because I know you're going to do also like a lot of creativity things. And so you're just opening up the avenue for others in this community, others in your community and our community to use their voice too, especially in a more vulnerable way for those. And I was thinking before the irony about your sharing, and you'll get the irony may have, I maybe should have used that in the end of the sentence. The fact that a library growing up was your safe space, and either the word is either the irony or the beauty, because where are we now?
That's
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, so for listeners, like literally tell the listeners, where are we now? They don't realize where we're out coming out of, many of them.
We're in a library.
We're in a library. We're at our new studio, and we moved in a few months ago in the Drakeford Public Library. So when you shared that, I got kind of warm and fuzzy. Like,
I had not had a chance. I've been so anxious about getting the show up and running. I had not made that connection yet, but thank you.
Oh, you didn't realize we're in a library?
I know. I knew we were in the library.
Yeah, but I hadn't made that.
I didn't make the connection between the library and my own personal
library.
Because I was like, perfect, because this... Let this be a safe space, WCOM, warm, friendly, quirky, great group of the other DJs and hosts. Our listeners, if you're listening to community radio, you're cool and wonderful.
Ideas of things to help decorate the window with.
Oh, gosh. I know Alicia, who's the co-host on my, Alicia's always busy nesting and trying to get the studio. So far, it's doing pretty well. We've been nesting. Every time I come in, there's something different. But the fact that we are kind of right on the edge of, we're part of the Drakeford Public Library building is really kind of fun and interesting.
That is great. So thanks for inviting me, Judy.
Absolutely.
Well, is that a good link to like why you named it Out on the Edge?
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, yes. Well, we wanted to avoid the routine alphabets and pride things because we feel like we're not that. We're beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And when we thought about a bunch of names, the one that was Out on the Edge just was like, yes,
yes,
that's the one. That's exactly where we find ourselves right now. We're on the edge.
Yes.
Everything we do is awful or wonderful. It's frightening or it's exciting. It's right on the edge. And I am here to have a good time. I'm going to be on that side of the edge.
Well, and I am. I was thinking about it before. I know it's one of the questions, and it keeps coming up in my mind as you both have talked a little bit about why you're doing the show and your experiences. But how is this time? How you just said it's an awful time and a wonderful time. It sounds very what? Is that Dickinson? It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Yeah.
How does this differ over each of you have decades in the community or being allies of the community? Is this time, how is it different than 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago?
Well, let's see. I have been in my current relationship for almost 40 years. The first 13 years, we were a lesbian couple.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first love of my life that was really a love of my life. And I was in bliss and loving going to pride parades, and it was not scary. It was delightful. Delicious. It was wonderful.
I love when you said that before about you're like, my marriage is delicious.
It is.
That term.
And then after 13 years, my spouse said, yeah, right, I'm a guy. I'm a man. And I went, what?
Mm-hmm.
What? So there was a moment, probably a year, it took me to learn, what does that mean for him and for me? And who am I in this new collection of people? And we just decided it wasn't about body parts. Mm-hmm. It was, that's the person I love, period, end of statement.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been, for the first couple of years, it was, how does this look?
Mm-hmm.
How do we want this to work? And we've just grown more in love with one another. My husband, I have so much more available of who he is than I did before he transitioned.
Really?
It's just extraordinary. Extraordinary difference.
Oh, I don't want to be inappropriate and ask too much about, like, really? What? And my husband and I are about to celebrate 30 years together and 27 years married. So part of it just in terms of the relationships, we all, and Betty too, we've all have been in long-term relationships. So the evolution, like, there are things I want to have cocktails with you off, you know, because I want to respect, we want to respect all of our spouses.
Yes.
But it is interesting how marriages and long-term relationships evolve. And just the fact of how all these years later, I feel like that too, in some ways for totally different reasons, how we continue to grow or how do you keep it going? Like for us, we're starting to be empty nesters. So anyway, just all these different things happen, very different than transitioning, but just from a true like coupling and that partnership.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm doing math right, which is not my strong part point issue, that was over 25 years ago.
Yes.
And so
he started his transition in 1999.
Okay.
Yeah.
And remind me, because there's so much that I think as part of the national dialogue, and I was doing a lot in the LGB world in the early 90s. And we had talked, I was talking with someone else. I was doing a lot of HIV/AIDS work, pride work, a lot in college years. So in the early 90s. So this, what I don't know is what was it like coming out as a trans man, like how has it, I feel like it's now part of our national discussion a lot over the past few years for good reasons and for really problematic reasons. But I can't even, like, what was that like 25 years ago?
It was, nobody knew anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't part of the conversation. People who were trans, they knew about it. The people that mm-hmm. loved them knew about it. But PFLAG, I worked for PFLAG.
Yeah.
Starting in the early 2000s when Max transition was brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a group of people fighting to have PFLAG include the T in their mm-hmm. name. It was a big fight.
I was part of Gay Men's Health Crisis, and I was part of Human Rights Campaign Fund. And yeah, I don't remember when the T got involved, but in the 80s and 90s, it was an interesting, yeah.
It wasn't there in the 80s and 90s.
Right, thank you. And they did, listeners, they did give me permission to ask questions, even if I sound super stupid. But that's why I was like, yeah, when did, so I'm fascinated. I didn't realize Mac transitioned so long ago.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So as you know, one of the questions is, and feel free to take back over your show, both of you, I consider in the most respectful way, this term elders, and Betty too, elders within the movement, elders within the community. And so you've seen some things and you've been involved, both of you, as allies and as members for so long. How do you have advice for others? I know, Robin, you're going through things now and you're young in that experience. Are there other experiences where you're like, hey, we have advice to give? Years ago, it was the It Gets Better campaign. But, well,
yes.
You know, how do you,
yes.
do others come to you for advice?
Well, that's what we invite. We invite that. I have a T-shirt that says free granny hugs.
Aww.
So if there are youngsters who want to know something about or get some support from a grandmother-aged person, that's why I'm here. That's definitely part of my mission now.
Mm-hmm. Is this where we remind them they can email us at...
Yes.
Out on the Edge Radio,
at gmail.com. If you want a granny hug...
I know, Out on the Edge Radio. Is that what it is?
Out on the Edge Radio. Yes.
At gmail.com. So I was like, you're sending the email. Is it because you are? You're inviting people if you need a hug, if you need support.
Yeah.
Ideas for shows.
Mm-hmm. Ideas for shows.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, all of that. I know
topics that we may or may not be able to talk to. If we don't know about it, we'll find see if we can find somebody who does.
You know, one of the things I'm wondering, I'm brainstorming out loud here. Have you thought about if someone were to email you and have and need support that you're like, hey, this is not just my own personal experience support, but do you have a listing of resources to share with folks if they're needing some counseling or support or just...
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
That's a short answer. Yes.
Is that through your senior resource teamwork or...
We have some of that, yeah.
Okay.
I have a long history working with PFLAG.
And tell listeners what that means. You have to do the same rule that we had at ours. Any acronyms or anything, you got to be like, what does that mean?
It originally was Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays.
See?
PFLAG.
No T's there. Yeah, got it.
So they've added all that as in their byline, but basically they're still PFLAG. Funny story, somebody typing in trying to find PFLAG online, to find their webpage, typed PFAG.
Oh.
Oops.
Okay, let's not say that. It's not one of the, it's not one of the seven words, but yeah, we're not. Let's not get canceled on our first show.
I just spelled something.
My mind is shutting down right now.
Anyway.
I don't look at those websites. No.
Interesting.
The point there was that I was on the board of directors. And I was a regional director and eventually became the Safe Schools Coordinator for the PFLAG chapters all across the country.
Oh.
So I went around and I did exactly that. I provided granny hugs, support and information for parents, for teachers, for kids. And it was the hardest and most wonderful job I've ever had.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
What types of things... I was going to say, I knew we had a question, what did your younger selves need? But is there something that either you needed when you were younger that now you try to support and supply for others? Or what is it that folks need right now? Or that they see, or over the years that you've seen?
I think Robin touched on it. They need to know us. Yeah. They need to get to meet us. I think there was a reaction that I had recently with a medical care provider. Mm-hmm. We were chit-chatting and they were doing stuff and things and talking about, you know, I was saying, oh yeah, I'm really worried about things. My husband's transgender and everything's really horrible right now. And they went, I stopped talking. And I thought, oh my God, what have I done?
Yeah.
And I should have said, oh, you probably have never met a transgender person, have you? But I didn't say that.
Yeah.
I just shut down. But that's what I want to say.
Yeah.
That's what I want to say. Would you like to meet someone who is transgender?
Mm-hmm.
And I can make that happen.
Sure.
And you're not. Yeah. You don't need to be afraid of them. I just want you to know them. So that is what I want.
And these were other adults. This was in a medical.
Yes. Yes. I mentioned it also to my dentist, and she said, "Oh, cool. Radio show."
I know. I did too. So I think, I don't know if she's listening now, but one of the staff members at a retirement community I was touring earlier, I'm like, I got to go because I'm doing this radio show and we're doing, the launch of an LGBTQ seniors radio show. And she's like, excuse me. Like, I was not talking to her. I was talking to someone else. And she was like, wait, what? What's the show? So I gave her the call letter. She's working right now. So I don't know if she can stream the show live. But if so, Haley, what's up? But it is interesting. People are like, that sounds so cool. One of the interesting things that happened, 15 years ago, it's related and similar and different about just getting to know and seeing people, is we were doing, through my old job, we were doing a theater program. Oh, Robin, you'll get into this. All about addressing ageism. And so we had a program in the middle schools, the middle school and high schools, addressing ageism. And that was the focus. And so it was about like older adults. And so it was part of Theater Delta, a kind of a change in social justice theater group in the area. And they go in and there was a skit that was performed and there was an older adult performer and then a younger actor on the older adult. Like, they got a call on their iPhone and they're like, oh, excuse me, I have a call. And they were like, you have an iPhone? You know how to use it? You know, so it was to kind of break down some of the stereotypes, just simple basic stereotypes about older adults and things like that. At the end of the show, And there are three actors, two folks like in their 20s and one gentleman. I think he's probably in his 60s or 70s. The middle schoolers all wanted to touch him. Like, as he was leaving, they just listeners, you can't see, I'm sort of reaching out to Robin because we're close to each other. Like, they were like, thanks, can I have a hug or can I touch you? And it's so in an even more simplistic way, they wanted to touch an older adult. They wanted to, it was...
the connection.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I've taken my girls when they were young. My girls are 20 and 24 almost. When I used to take them to drag shows and my girls were both coming out as bi. I took them to drag shows and they wanted to hug the performers, and just especially my older daughter at the time, who is just coming out as bi. I think both girls are comfortable with me saying that on the air, and just felt really welcomed and accepted. But like a lot of people, I haven't met a drag queen before. Can I hug you? And da da da. And there's a whole performance art. But this whole issue that they just wanted to touch an older adult, and so. And just, I can see, but you then, is it weird for you, though, to have to be, and to say, oh, okay, I'll show you a trans person, it's just like you and me?
Well, no, that feels fine.
Yeah.
You know, I know some kids who are trans, and their parents would be delighted to have someone get to know their kid.
And really
because
get to know,
this
yeah.
At this point, everyone is terrified that kids might be considered trans or
right.
What?
Yeah.
No, children can't be that.
Yeah.
And I would like people to meet some children who are that and are brilliant.
And confirm that nobody told them to be that. That's
exactly.
One of the most frustrating things is that children don't know that. They don't understand that. And so obviously if a child says that they're trans, somebody told them to say that.
Yes.
And that's just this, it's just like this solid block of people who latch on to that.
Yeah,
nobody, you can't, it's...
Yeah. I was just thinking from just what we were talking about before segment, just so I don't sound silly, they're just like us. It made me think about both, it's either People Magazine or Us Magazine, just to show this high literary that I'm referring to right now. They have a whole section called They're Just Like Us, meaning celebrities. Celebrities are just like us, where they show pictures. Celebrities go grocery shopping. Celebrities eat ice cream. I actually bumped into a celebrity. I was in Wilmington at the aquarium, and it was actually kind of funny. The celebrity had their 5-year-old child and was giving them french fries and chicken nuggets, which is like an everyday thing for me when my kids were that age, my kids were younger. And it is actually funny. I should have titled Celebrities Are Not Like Us, because she was busy taking pictures. She's like, I can't believe he's having his first chicken nugget. I was like, oh, honey. But anyway, but it is interesting. It's, so pictures of trans people go grocery shopping too. We go to the dry cleaners. We have errands.
Right.
Oh, interesting.
Our agenda includes grocery shopping, laundry.
When
we first met and I knew you, you came on our second radio show, Aging Well Together. You were on our second show and you came on to talk about the senior resource team, the LG. What is it called? What's the official name
it's
of your
LGBTQ+. Senior resource team. Yeah.
And so it's really fun, listeners, when we type the email, it's LGBTQ+SRT, which is really funny, the senior resource team. And you came on, and so I knew you were gay because you were part of that group. I had an assumption. And then I was a little confused. I don't think it was that show. It may have been later on, even when you came on months ago, at some point when they mentioned your husband. And I was like, mind was like, wait,
what, huh?
Husband?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, you're an ally. I just didn't put it together. And then all of a sudden you put it together and Robin put it and I was like, oh, even I thought that was cool. I was like, because it just shows we all make assumptions when we first meet people. And
I'm still surprised when someone thinks that we're a normal heterosexual couple.
Yeah.
When we're queer as the dickens.
Yeah. Well, and that was one of the, it was one of the questions I was wondering about in terms of couple identity. So you go around, and I didn't know whether we call it a straight couple or heteronormative couple, whatever couple we talk. But I would think for a while there, your identity would be part of being in a same-sex queer couple. And then now you're not seen as that.
I used to say I had to retire and tear up my lesbian card.
I know. Yeah. I don't want to get into, I don't know what questions are trigger questions, whether like, was that hard? How did the rest of the world see that?
Oh my. One of my friends at the time cautioned me and thought that I should leave the relationship because now he was going to be a man. He would beat me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk about weird biases, stereotypes.
You're like half a head taller than Mac, aren't you?
No.
What a sad state of affairs that they consider. That needs a whole lot of trauma and therapy just on like whatever her experiences were with
and
men.
That was the nature of our gay community with regard to a transition.
Yeah.
There was no knowledge. It was all made up. Oh, my goodness, this is going to be like, you're going to be horrified and in danger. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Because nobody understood. I wanted to say understands, but a lot more people understand now. A lot of people don't, but there we are.
Even in the back in the day, my children would not think I am evolved now or that my husband and I are both like, we used to be hip. We used to know things. Both my husband and I were sexual health counselors and in the field. And I thought I was pretty, up on topics back in the day. There's a whole other thing about how I felt. Like, talking to you, I feel much safer than talking to my own children. Because if I say something wrong, they're on me, And it's I was like, oh, come on. But I remember, this is going to sound so classic 90s. I was in a women's studies class at my university, Brandeis University, this sort of social justice university, in the late 80s, early 90s. And we were in a women's studies class, and there was a woman in the class. I'll say it's a woman now. I think they would have used the pronoun they, and I think they would have used a more non-binary term. But that was not, we did not speak. We thought it was all wild that on the women's room, someone had crossed out and it was women with a Y. Remember that? W-M-Y-N. Mm-hmm. So I think, and I remember there was some comment in class about there are women who actually feel more that gender's wrong to them, or that biological sex just, it feels wrong and it feels like that's not the one they're in. And the other student, I'll just use the pronouns, this woman, but her reaction was so authentically, she's like, it's really, really hard. And it never hit me. When you don't realize somebody's struggling to the extent of how they're identified. And so it hit me now when I think about that moment, that wherever they are at this point, I think the pronouns are probably they, if not transitioned. And there was a real pain that was exuding, I'm still going to say, from her at the time, because we didn't use that language back then. I felt like I was in hip enough circles that if that language was being used, we would have used it. I mean, I was 18, 19, 20. Like, we were trying to be all up, and we thought we were pretty cool and progressive with all the sexual health and peer support and sexual identity work we were doing, as well as it was HIV/AIDS time. So, I mean, it was pretty crazy to be able, back then, to be going and doing all this stuff that was not about an education, not about reproductive, but about, like, we want you to stay alive because... Do you remember there was that time period, sex equals death? I mean, like, you're going to have sex with someone, and you're going to get HIV and get AIDS and die. So just going around and being able to do that education seemed really controversial, and now it seems so quaint now. But to see her level of pain was my first insight that there are people that are really struggling right now with, I don't even know what the right language is.
I don't
their biology, actually, their identity.
There's a lot of language that's mucked up and modified. Modified. That's a good
one. It's myrtle.
Myrtleized.
I still don't know what that term means, but it's yes.
No, there is. When I was growing up in the 60s, I saw the way white people demonized black people. And they're spread disease. They're after your children. They're, you know, shiftless. They're lazy, everything like that. And then the civil rights passed, and, you know, it was all that kind of stuff. But then it became gays, and they used the AIDS crisis. It's the same thing. They're shiftless. Yes. They're lazy. They're trying to convert you, you know, all that sort of stuff like that. And then 9/11 happened, and it became Muslim. People were doing, you know, shiftless, blah, blah, blah. And now, you know, it's trans people, and we can tell that the ultimate goal is to undo marriage equality and everything like that. And they're just using trans people as nobody likes trans people. They're weird, you know. They just put on a dress and think that they're the other. None of which is true. And in the process of unpacking that, you know, we go back and we see the same kind of things that were used against Jewish people in Germany in the 30s. The exact same kind of demonization. They kidnap your children because they have to drink your Gentile blood for, you know, blood, the whole blood libel thing. And it's just like,
yeah, I know. Okay. It just, right. I know. Judy's like, don't even mention the process of even sharing the demonizing of people.
It's the same bigotry. It's the same phobia. It's just a different target.
Yeah.
That's all it is, because they always have to try to find a new target when the ones that they pick on become more resilient.
Hey, look at us being targeted. So I'm Jewish, so my people in the background targeted.
I was
looking at Judy, lesbian.
Yeah.
You got that. Robin, you got trans. So, you know, talk about in your stories, well,
missed the piece about women.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't get to that.
Keep going.
My mother.
In the 70s.
My mother could not have a credit card until way past I had my first baby.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It was in the 70s.
76, 77.
They do trivia sometimes. They're like, when could women get a credit card? And you're like, ah. And then they say,
1973, I think it was.
Yeah, so
there's just the demonization of anyone who isn't.
Yeah, well, it was about the same time that gay lib became a thing, and all
I
that
forgot
sort of,
that term.
Yeah, that was the '70s where all I get that, but you know, it's just they move from target to target to target to target to target, and part of the problem with now is that people in the highest elective offices in the country are supporting that and telling them that it's okay to do that. I mean,
and we're retargeting this particular. This is not really fun to talk about.
I was just about finish your sentence, and then I had an observation.
This is another show.
All right, you don't have to finish
indeed,
your sentence.
The whole group of people who have been targeted over the last century, I would say, are now being targeted again.
Yes.
Again.
Yeah.
We have DEI gone.
Yes. Right.
That's everybody.
And there's so much anti-immigration stuff in the United States and in the U.K.
I forgot what I was going to say. Don't get old, folks. It all slips out.
They all do it again.
What's my excuse? I have, you know, now we pathologize. I just thought I had I can multitask and I have a lot of energy now. It's like, no, that's ADHD. And no, that's like, and now I'm over-caffeinated. I just run on tangents. I did think, and I know we only have about two, three minutes left on the show. What is really interesting is we got sort of deep and heavy here. And I'm excited to see, going back to the original question, what are we excited about with Out on the Edge? I know that, yeah, how heavy, how light are you? When is it kind of, I think your show is going to be a bit of a charcuterie board with lots of different things. Because yes. I know you were talking about all these theater programs and fun. But today was a more heavy.
Well, I think there's a lot of issues. Because I think the more, in the same way we get people to know members of the LGBTQ plus community, the more we shine a light on the things that we have to know. They're making you do what? What?
Yeah.
I mean, the
more
we shine a light on that. But, of course, Betty's really excited about doing women's music shows and cultural shows like that.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
You know, so we're going to.
It already is great. This is a great first show.
It is.
But, yeah,
and
this is deeper.
In answer to that, quickly, my feeling about the heavy stuff is I don't want to go there. So if you see me going,
She did. She gave the what's it called, that neck, she kind of listener, she gave that cut sign.
Come on, the
Aging Well Together show.
No,
we do heavy topics, and our goal is to bring lightness to heavy topics, but I mean, again, we do a lot around brain disease and
part of what we're doing in the early shows is finding our rhythm and what, you know,
What am I not willing to?
Yeah, and it's not even that. Yeah. It's just how to approach difficult subjects, if at all.
Exactly.
You know, that's all. And so we're still learning.
And live radio, as Alicia always says on her, live radio, folks, and community radio, and it's really fun. Judy, are you going to take us out? Are you going to close our show?
Well, I was, and I forgot. I had this wonderful James Baldwin quote.
Okay.
About how we age, we learn that what we're about in life is to reflect, to mirror, and magnify each other. And that's what we do for one another in our community. That's what I want this to be about.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
what
great.
I would like to see. And thank you so much, Heather Altman.
Thank you.
Oh, happy to be here. Happy to be here. This is great.
I want you to
great.
Keep your Mondays free for the next few weeks.
I know. It's so funny. I don't have it next Monday.
I'm not kidding.
I know you're not. I already looked.
See how my voice drops?
Y'all are.
Do that?
Yes.
I'm not kidding.
I hear you. All right. We'll talk about it.
Bye, everybody.
Hey,
bye-bye.
Take care, everyone. Thank you.